Let's start.
We still don't have Christoph, so he's only on chat for everyone.
Okay. Yeah, let's start anyway. It's 5 after, so. Okay, so, yeah, Fabian and all the others at the table helped, like Elisa and also Conrad, did a great job in Santa Clara. So the RFP eventually got issued, although there was a lot of problems. So that the architectural board on Monday said there is too much overlap with SIMF, and either SIMF or also IOP has to go. And Fabian was very pessimistic on Tuesday that this RFP could get through, and eventually, after a long, difficult discussion, it went through, and this is a great success. So many thanks to Fabian, Elisa, Conrad, and all others who supported that.
So Conrad, what happened? Why didn't this come up in September? I mean, we could have had that discussion in September.
Was it in front of the AB?
Well, I gave a presentation to the AB. I mean, I guess it wasn't going up as an RFP at that point. It was just a presentation, so maybe they weren't really
That must have been the ADTF that you presented.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. It was the ADTF, yeah.
AB doesn't benefit from all this, and LMG has a kind of weird process where this rather important hurdle happens at later in stages in front of people who may or may not have been part of seen the other presentations. So the presentations ADTF help us get out of ADTF, and then you hit the AB, and that usually is misunderstandings and so on.
Okay, yeah, because that was unfortunate, because we could have had that discussion in September and had this resolved a lot earlier, but, oh well, like Phil said, it worked out, so that's good.
Well, this is a routine problem with DLG that the AB comes at the end of what is a long process of discussion, and they usually, well, often many of them are clueless.
Mm.
Which is good and bad. I mean, they tend to have a high level viewpoint on it. But usually the way it works is, the way it worked this week is the way it typically works. The AB has objections on Monday, and then during the ADTF discussion, there is detailed, usually the AB members show up, and then there's detailed discussion, which is exactly what happened, and wordsmithing during the meeting, which Fabian wasn't expecting, but that's the way it works. And then usually, in this case, there was 3 or 4 AB members at the ADTF meeting during the discussion. So all those issues were hammered out in the ADTF. The ADTF passed it, and the AB, of course, passed it because all the issues were addressed. So that's actually a typical process. The AB doesn't have a way. You can't give the AB presentations. There's no mechanism to socialize the AB.
Oh, okay.
Not a formal one, anyway. You would have to do it offline.
Right. Yeah.
What happened actually was fairly typical and expected. It's, you know, you just that's usually the way it goes. So it wasn't because there was something wrong with the RFP or anything.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. So what also helped is that Corey Katanave, who is the main coordinator of the main answer to SIM, actually wrote an email where he made clear that these are two different things, because SIM is much more informal and does not care so much that everything has a formal semantics. He wrote that in doubt they could do without and just have some operational transformations and so on. And that helped a lot, I think, that also Corey supported our view that these are two different things. And of course, in a sense, he had to do that because SIMF has been already out the RFP for 2 years now, and the deadline has been for the answers to the RFP has been extended several times. And I think the last extension is until April, so. But it was also interesting for me as an insight that extensions are possible, but now I think the end of the extension possibilities are reached, and they have to submit something now, or the RFP dies. That's my impression there.
Well, the ADTF can at any time vote to recall an RFP. And in fact, if that discussion with Corey didn't work out, my plan was just to propose in the ADTF to recall the RFP. Fortunately, we didn't have to get that far, because that gets really contentious.
Okay, so then if we have finished the first point report from the OMG meeting, or Conrad, do we have any further impressions?
No, it just is very, it was very good that Elisa was shepherding that whole thing. She knew
yeah.
her background, and she made the arguments in the AB and helped in the discussions with the Pete, the one objecting. And she also, you know, brought in Corey and all everything, so she did a really good job with that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay, so then let's come to the second point. Letters of intent. So actually, we have time until May now to submit letters of intent. Only OMG members can do that. So
and only OMG only members who are vendors, software vendors.
Right. So not universities.
So the universities cannot send a letter of intent at all.
Well, unless they are a purveyor of software.
Okay.
So, for example, you mean like Stanford could because they have Protégé and...
Yeah, it seems like they could, and it's sort of confusing about open source. Like, say, a university is contributing to open source. That count. I see the word commercial sometimes. Actually, these RFPs have this general section called the general requirements. And I'd have to look there, but commercial availability. I hope open source would count as commercial, but it might not. I don't know.
Okay, so Magdeburg, for example, we develop HETS and OntoHub, so it's both open source, and if open source would count, then we could also send a letter of intent. But anyway, I mailed to Elisa about this point. I will post the answer into the chat. One supporter that we have is Fraunhofer Focus in Berlin. So Holger Schlingloff is there and Andreas Hoffmann. And Elisa says that she is happy to be a co-submitter with her Fanatics company. And then she includes a list of further possible candidates, and now the question is how we proceed. So Elisa says that one platform member would be sufficient alone, or say Fraunhofer and Thematics, we already have two. So we could proceed with those two, but of course we can also proactively approach the others that Elisa has suggested in order to have to reach a broader consensus among different OMG members. So that's now the question. Actually, I must admit, I don't know all of these candidates that Elisa has listed, so maybe someone of you can provide more details what they are and whether we should actually ask them or not.
Well, Deer is a submitter to SIMF, and I thought the rep expressed interest. I know, I can ask.
So RuleML, I mean, we know people within RuleML, so like Tara, Ethan is a member of RuleML, Harold Bowley, you know, Ivan Pasha.
Yeah, I also spoke with him, and he's also interested.
I think Adrian would be the best one, because, I mean, is he currently kind of chair of RuleML?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess he would be the person.
Lisa's mention of OCL and the theorem provers is interesting. Do we know anybody in OCL?
Well, Ed Relink is I've met him. He's always on the UML and OCL list. He's easy to reach. I could ask him, as well as Roger from Deer.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, and I can ask Adrian Paschke.
Who are the people from Fraunhofer again?
So I know Holger Schlingloff. He's a professor at Humboldt University. And leads some area in Fraunhofer Focus. And he does cyber physical systems. And I'm just writing a research proposal with him about formal methods for UML. And he's not directly coming to the OMG meetings, but Andreas Hoffmann is, and he's also at Fraunhofer Focus, and he could basically vote there. And I've spoken with him.
Do you mind writing their names in the chat?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, just to record this, so Conrad, you ask at Willink and someone else?
Yeah, I'll type it in.
Good. Okay, good. So, Elisa is also in. And then, yeah, anyone knowing 88 solutions or Adaptive Accord, Arizona State University?
Well, Arizona State University, I think that's referring to the group that's working on API 4KB. So, Lisa, in the previous paragraph, Lisa mentioned get other people who are participants in API 4KB to sign up as well. So, what's his name? At Arizona State's a big person active in that project.
The Italian guy, yeah?
No. Just a second. Davide.
Davide, yeah, he's Italian, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I've never actually met him face-to-face, just on the phone.
Davide Zotara.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can ask him.
Well, no, but I think that's what Arizona State's referring to, is referring to him.
Yeah, but we should approach him.
Well, I know the 88 and Adaptive reps, but somehow this doesn't seem their area to me.
Okay, so sounds... Tara Arthur. Yeah, I can also ask her.
Right, but Tara's kind of So Lisa mentions Tara in terms of API 4KB, but also in with respect to RuleML. So that might already be covered.
Yeah, maybe Tara has other context and
okay.
Suggest someone.
Sure.
Okay, great. So yeah, I suggest that we ask those people if they could send a letter of intent, and also we can invite them to participate at the process of writing an answer to the RFP. Because if we just wait for the official procedure, then in May we would have all the letters of intent. We can see who wants to join, and then in June we could start. But I would rather start with writing the answer now. But it would be unfair not to let others participate there, and then also would possibly lead to concurrent answer writing processes, and which need to be merged and so on. And we would rather try to avoid that and have a joint effort. So that's why I suggest that we start now approaching those people.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. I agree.
Okay, yeah, then we have a number of people. It's good, or at least we have ideas to approach a number of people and can exchange the results at the next session. So then I suggest to proceed to the third point, organization of the preparation of an answer to the RFP. So we already have the dry-up working draft from ISO, where we already have put a lot of energy into. And it's a document with more than 100 pages. And I suggest that we take this as a basis for our answer. And I suggest that Fabian and I try to, in the next few weeks, try to restructure this ISO working draft into an answer for the Ontario IOP RFP. And then we can start with processing that document. Would that be okay for you?
No, definitely. I mean, like you say, that's the place to start. And then, we'll kind of want to incorporate a lot of the ideas that came into the in the process of coming up the RFP. That I think that might help expand some parts of the proposal. But as a first draft, that's exactly what we were thinking all along.
Yeah, good. And
could you document that on the chat, please?
Okay. Okay. So one technical issue there is that this is a LaTeX document. It seems that OMG prefers either FrameMaker or Open Document Format. But I suggest that we stick with the LaTeX for now because we already have it. And if needed, then at the very end we can convert from LaTeX to doc rather than doing this now. Because the big advantage of the LaTeX is the collaborative editing is much easier with Subversion, and I want to keep this as long as possible and only just before the submission to OMG we can then switch to FrameMaker or ODT or Doc or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. I wish we could just keep it in LaTeX, but oh well. It's better to kind of do all the work in LaTeX, and then, like you said, at the end, when everyone agrees, then we just make a ODT version of it for submission.
Well, actually, you can submit a PDF generated from LaTeX. It's just when you submit, they also would like you to provide the source files, which they would like in some format they can manage.
So they can make comments on it, though? I always thought that was the reason why to keep it in that, in ODT or Word or whatever. So then people can make comments, and those comments get tracked within the document. But
well, when you submit like that, yeah, I've never actually seen people comment straight into the document. I guess sometimes
okay.
they do it for RPGs, but, you know, people can always put comments in PDF, and usually the AB reviews by writing out their comments.
Right.
Yeah, I spoke with Fabian about that, and he told me that the most important thing is, point one, that you can comment this, and PDF has these commenting facilities, and point two, people want to see diffs, and then we can just use diff LaTeX. It works very well, and you can just input diff LaTeX inputs to different LaTeX files and produces one PDF where you can see diff just as you can see in Word.
That would be fine. And then these so-called ancillary files are not actually linked from the main pages. They're just for the benefit of OMG likes to have them so that they have the source. But I don't know if anybody actually looks at those necessarily. So if, for example, you converted it to Word and or ODT and it wasn't very good, no one would notice until 6 months later when they need to actually produce it for the... Well, yeah, I don't know. People wouldn't notice for quite a long time until it's finalized and has to be formally available publicly. So, you know, you don't need to feel like you need to get off of... Probably don't need to get off of LaTeX until after finalization, which is usually a year after the adoption vote.
After this finalization, we have to convert to ODT or doc?
Yeah, by then it actually becomes really something that's handled by the OMG and posted to their formally available spec pages, and that goes through that usually goes through their own editors and things like that. So that's 1 year. That's after finalization, which is typically a year after the adoption. So you guys can stay on it for quite a long time, probably. Why don't I write it out?
Okay, good. So then I think we are already done. I have discussed all the essential items. Any more comments or questions or topics?
No, looks like it was a very successful meeting.
Yeah, true. So just remember to approach those people, and Fabian and I will do the conversion of the answer. Ah, by the way, there probably is a template, but there's not a LaTeX template for answers to RFP, Conrad, is there?
The answers to the RFP, there's no LaTeX template. But it's not very complicated. It's a set of headings, that I think would be easily translated.
Yeah, you just have to do it manually, and then cut and paste the text in too. I guess there's some standard text in different sections that would be included.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll do just it. Okay, great. Then just let's fix the date of the next meeting. So we have a bi-weekly rhythm, and in 2 weeks we have 1st of January, which is perhaps not so well suited date. So then the next one would be 15th of January. Is this right?
Right. Check with Peter. Peter, is that okay? Remember, I think this kind of alternates with one of your scheduling
Yes, yes. This is great.
So 15th is okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So next meeting, January 15th, and then 1 hour later, which means 8 a.m. Pacific or 11 a.m. Eastern or 5 p.m. European, yeah?
Great.
Okay. Then have a nice Christmas time and Happy New Year, and see you in 4 weeks.
Okay. Thanks.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
See you in a month.
Bye.
Bye.